Tonight's shiur is dedicated to what I think is a very, very important topic, and that is very much how to go about b'mafis trumas u'masrot, and it's something which is relevant for everybody, some people some more, some less. Most of us don't count it necessarily on a daily basis. Some people have things that grow in the garden, or that they will find themselves in places where the classic hafash is very questionable. There are those damkach who like to be mafresh, have a special hanhaga of being mafresh, to be on the safe side of everything. But everyone usually has here and there on the occasion to be mafresh, and it's very important to know how to do it, and to also preferably to understand not only to say the nusa, but also to understand what is happening when a person is being mafresh shumot u'masrot, when he's saying the nusa that he is saying. There are also other issues in terms of the pidyon ma'aseh sheni, which requires an actual coin to be mafish on, and these are some of the issues that will come up in the shiur tonight, and I happen to have with me a bag of potatoes, which will serve as our exhibit A for the hafrasha of trumas u'maaseh to explain as we go along. Okay? Basically, as we have here on the sheet, there are four steps in b'mafish trumot u'masrot. The first is to get the stuff together. There is an interesting halacha which is primarily said about truma. The question to what extent it applies to the other hafashot, truma and trumas meiser, that truma is supposed to be taken min hamukaf. Truma is supposed to be taken from nearby. Okay, one of the simple explanations, the question whether this is the right or the abundance, based on a pasuk mimenu, min hamukaf, other sources seem to indicate it's a din d'rabbanan. One simple explanation is that although maybe technically trumas u'maaseh can be done and is valid if it's done sort of remote control, mafresh, you have a warehouse somewhere in Rehovot or in down the Negev. I'm sitting here in Yad Binyamin and I'm mafresh from what I have here in Yad Binyamin in the office on what I have down in my silo or my farm down in the Negev, although it is certainly valid by the Eved and maybe perhaps the Midaraisa, it's fine. However, there was a simple concern that you're assuming that you have your fruits here, and you're assuming that the fruits exist over there, and when you bring mafish from this and that, there is a possibility, again, if you assume it's Dabonon, Chazal concern that maybe the fruits don't actually exist, and you're bring mafish from something onto nothing, or reverse, if you need the fruits, and you're relying on that you're going to be mafish on something which is not here, maybe that is not there. And therefore, Chacham said, you have to be mafresh from min hamukaf, from things which are nearby, to make sure that both what you're being mafresh and what you're being mafresh on are both exist and both are intact, and therefore the hafrasha can be carried out properly. Because if either side is not there, you're going to end up with some of the fruits will end up being not properly have proper hafrasha, some of the fruits will end up still being tevil. Therefore, there is a din of min hamukaf for chumas maaseh. Actually, I saw in the Sefer, though, that this is mostly for actual Tevel Gamor. However, a person is not just doing it the Chumrah, or let's say, stuff which he's not sure or not. There's a question of whether even Hamukaf, certainly if it's just a Chumrah, you think it was, but you just have a practice, you don't see Masrah and Hamukaf. But if you're being Masrah from something which you know is Tevel, you pick something from your garden, you pick something, or you have a fruit orchard and you need some trees, and you're being mafish from fruit, then it should be certainly min hamukaf, you should assemble it together. What does together mean? If it's in the open, it's just on the counter, it's in the house, it's fine, it's just nearby. If it's in bags, then again, if it's actual tevel, then at least the bags should be touching, all the different containers, open containers, it should be at least touching, the containers should be moved together, so that they're nearby to touching each other. Okay, so just to summarize again, that the first step is to get the fruits together. This is most critical when you have actual tevel, less so if you're just doing it l'chumra, just doing it, there was some sort of hashgach and just doing it with torah chumra. If it's in the open on the counter, it's fine. If it's in the containers, then the containers should be moved next to each other, and we'll discuss in a few minutes. I'd gone to Aftanani, and in addition to all his other talents in shechting sheep and turkeys and bismillahs and everything else, he also makes his own wine. So he was mafrish chumas and maisis on his wine that he made, and he had them in bottles. So he put all the bottles together on the counter, so they were touching one another, and then he was mafrish. Okay, so this is the idea of putting this. What?
When he mafrish the wine, why was he mafrish on the grapes before he made the wine?
Maybe a different day we'll discuss more the issues of chumas of hafasha, but the din of chumas fruit, the produce becomes chayv in chuma when you have the gemara malacha, where it's reached its final processing stage, and therefore, since wine, the grapes, if the grapes are meant for eating, then you'll be mafresh when they're at the grape stage. If, however, they're going to make them into wine, they still haven't reached their final stage, and therefore, if they're going to be made into wine, we wait till it's
that would
made into wine.
Raisins, sun-dried tomatoes, all those things too.
Essentially, is there a significant difference between raisins and grapes? I'm not sure. Since essentially that's the same thing. It could be that if you plan to, would you say that if it's not dried, it's not yet gemara malacha? I'm not sure of that point. Right? Interesting point.
But is that considered
gemara malacha? See, the gemara malacha for most things will be when it's put into
I just don't understand what gemara malacha is.
Right. I don't think so because the potatoes. When they're collected and they're gathered together, that's all the potatoes happen to the potatoes. The wine, from grapes to wine, is a very significant change of nature. Okay, it's almost like a different product. When you make potato chips, again, all you're doing is you're taking your potatoes and you're cooking them. Right? No one says that when you're making a carrot, you have to wait till you finish cooking your carrots. Okay, whatever vegetable. Obviously, you mafir on bread, the flour. You have to wait until you grind the flour. It means we're talking about taking the produce in, and sort of the stage that it's now ready for shivuk. Okay, or it's ready for as you finish the field processing, and now you're sort of moving into the home area. And that's the gemara malacha where it has finished its sort of field existence. So grapes should be made into wine, as it hasn't reached its home value yet until you make it into the wine. Popcorn would have to be after it's popped. Again, I'm not sure. Is popcorn a fascinating question? Okay. It's more like cooking it. It's not a change. It's from grapes to wine or from olive to oil is a very significant change in the essence of the item. Popcorn is again just a certain kind of cooking, certain kind of baking, which makes it a little bit different than cooked corn. And the popcorn is a little bit different, but again, it's not a major change in the nature of the produce. As opposed to, and therefore, again, as it's reaching the house, it's sort of, you get the corn is ready, the kernels are ready, and that's it. Okay, as opposed to the wine, again, it's almost a different product. I'll have to check, Mr. Hashem, the details of this.
Corn flour certainly is a different product.
Again, it's the issue of, the field life is finished. Okay, and that's, I think, corn flour is brought into the house as corn flour. What you will do with your corn flour, okay, you'll then cook it, you'll bake it, you'll do whatever you'll do. But it's sort of its field existence is finished, as opposed to the grapes and the wine, it's left out in the field and it's made into the wine before being brought into the house. All these things, maybe we'll have a different week, we'll try to get into some of these questions. But basically, we're talking here, so I was just mentioning, since this was actual Teva, had not been taken, he was making his own wine, and therefore he put the bottles together. And that's in order for it to be min ha-mukaf, that it should be some things that are nearby, some things that are adjacent, things that are assembled together. Okay, so that's but as I said, in most situations, if you're not talking about actual tevel, you're talking about hafash l'chumra, then the need to bring it together is not as great, so therefore, if you're just doing it, so you bought it from the store, you're not sure, whatever from the local tenu, whatever it is. So the idea of a son together is not as critical, But for stuff from the field, fresh, you have to put it together. The next thing, and that is to take, and this is sort of the most significant, one of the other significant steps, is we take off a little bit more than 1% of the produce. Okay, why? I'll have to explain shortly why a little bit more than 1%, but that depends how good you are with math. So I happened to get a bag of potatoes today, which, by the way, interestingly, I got this from Makolis. I had told you in previous weeks that he was mafish again in the Makolis. Apparently he used to, that's what he told me a month ago. I just checked with him again today, that he doesn't do that anymore. So he has the local rabbanus that he gets from Rehovot, which is the mafish, so those who want to can. But he himself is not mafish in the store, and therefore if someone wants to be mafish, because there are situations when there are mix-ups sometimes in the distribution, there is room to be mafish. He said he doesn't do it anymore in the store. He used to, but now he doesn't anymore. What? Did he put up a sign? I don't think he put up a sign.
What's the Kabbalah?
What?
What's the Kabbalah in Makolas for them for the Mafresh or not the Mafresh? That's what I'm trying to say. Whenever the controversy started coming up, I was like, what do Makolas in from areas do normally? Are they normally Mafresh or they're not?
I don't know what Makolas.
Yeah.
It depends what Hashgacha they're under. You know, if they're getting from the local, then they often don't. Depends which Hashgacha they're under. Alright, so he's getting from the Shuk area in Rehovot, he's on the Rabbanus Rehovot. So those who run on it can run. If someone wants to be more makir, they can. The fruit and vegetable stores under the Mahajan Hashgacha, and therefore from this perspective it's more liable. Okay? So we have here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So we have here 13 potatoes. Okay, 13 potatoes. Okay, 1% of 13. Okay. All right, 0.13. Okay, 0.13. Okay, that's all right. 0.13 potatoes. Okay, 0.13 means about a sixth or a seventh of a potato. Okay, as I said, you have to have more than 1%. And if you take too little, it's no good. Take too much, take too more, and it will explain why, surely that's not a problem. So you should round up, okay? So if we're trying to aim for 0.13, let's round it up to 2. No, because we have 13.
1%.
1% of 13.
1%
is 0.01. No. 13.13. Okay. All right. So if we have 13 potatoes, if I have one it would be, but if I have 13 potatoes, so I need 0.13, let's round it up to 2. So essentially I need about a fifth of a potato. Now, when I talk about a fifth of a potato, they're different sized potatoes. Alright, I have a little not so big potato, and I have a big potato. Okay, so if I talk about a fifth of a potato can vary on the size of the potato. Okay? Also bear in mind that if you talk about a potato, right, a potato, if I say, well, this is a half, this is a quarter, there's a fifth, obviously this is not a fifth, because since the potato is bigger in the middle, okay, at the end of the potato, or if you're taking a cucumber or something, right, the end of the cucumber obviously gets thinner, it's thicker in the middle, and thinner at the end. So again, you have to use your adjustment, use your imagination, try to find the potato which looks to you sort of the average size of potato. And if it's a fifth, so if this is more or less a quarter, you move over the knife a little bit and try to get roughly what you think should be, let's say, a fair fifth of a potato. So just getting a sense of the potatoes. Okay, I said, you can be a little bit more. So let's say this seems about an average potato. Now if we need a fifth of a potato, let's say we'll take off about this much. Okay. Okay, so this is about a fifth of a potato. Okay. Again, we round it up a little bit because we need only a seventh of the potato, so we have so much to spare. Okay, so we take off a 1% plus of the potato and we put it on the side. Okay, that is step 2. Yes. Okay. All right. It's an interesting point. Also, you have to also realize sometimes. Let's say if you're talking about, let's say, something especially with a thick skin, which is not really part of the fruit, okay, you're going to cut off the end, right, so you're going to get a lot of rind, and you're going to have very little fruit in the middle. Or if you take off an orange, the same thing. If you're going to hear a potato has a fairly thin skin, so So whatever I basically whatever I cut off is mostly fruit. But if I were to cut off something like this from a piece of an orange, all right, you have to realize that most of the thickness around here, since I have a lot of the exterior, right, most of it would not be fruit. I have a lot of fruit here, even though it's about a fifth of the orange, but a fifth of the orange would have only maybe a tenth of the fruit of the orange, and therefore you, if you're trying to be mafish on the fruit, you would have to cut a slice in such a way that you're going to get a more than 1% of the fruit itself, okay, of the fruit itself, and not just of the peels, okay. So we have here somewhat more than 1%. Now, we then say, so this is not right. There are some making mistakes. This is not called hafreshes tumos u'maisos. Cutting it, putting it aside, or throwing it away. I've done nothing yet. I've just thrown a piece of potato in the garbage. Okay, this is not yet hafreshes tumos u'maisos. This is just the preliminary. This is the setup. This is the arrangement for the hafreshes tumos u'maisos. The hafreshes tumos u'maisos is basically saying the nusach, saying the text that we have here. Maybe we have more. Have some extra. Saying the text of the Trumas and Maestros is what is actually the most significant part of the Hafrasha. And Hafrasha can be done by anybody, by the man, by the woman who's ever home, okay, is perfectly fine as long as they should be bar mitzvah. Okay? Now, when we're being mafish, there is a Hafrasha Trumas and Maestros is a mitzvah. Right. Interesting question. What about nowadays? Right. The din d'oraisa mitzvah hafreshes tumos u'maisos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. However, the most poskim assume, based on the Rambam, that you have to have most or all of Am Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael for this to be chayv mid'oraisa. And therefore, nowadays, that many of Am Yisrael, unfortunately, are not living in Eretz Yisrael. Arangolas, the mitzvah of Tumas Maisos is Midrabanan. However, as I mentioned last week, we treat it very seriously, and therefore we continue to ask. We're not lenient in it, but we continue to treat it very seriously. All the Rabbanan should be treated seriously, but particularly of Tumas Maisos, we find people are very careful about. Being as a mitzvah, as any other mitzvah, there is a bracha associated with doing the mitzvah. However, of course, this is only if you're actually taking tevel, something that no one was ever mafish before. You took in from your garden, you took in from your tree, you visited someone on a kibbutz somewhere, and you picked the apples or something, and you know that tumos u'maisos have not been taken, then you will say a bracha. However, if it was under some sort of hashgacha, and you're just being left for just the chumrah, or you have a question whether tumos u'maisos were taken, you visit someone, you don't know if he did or he didn't, and in the situation of a suffix, so then you should be mafish. However, you only make a bracha when you are dealing with definite, certain tevel that it never has been taken. Because basically the point is that once someone is mafish tumos u'maisos, you can't be mafish tumos u'maisos again, right? You can do it maybe misafik out of doubt, but if you know that there are interesting stories of certain people, as I mentioned, there are certain people who are mafish, they always want to make sure that their tumos u'maisos are taken, and therefore whenever they eat, even if it's under the best hashgacha, they go visit their biggest gadol, they have a personal chumrah that they are mafish over again. I tell a story of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who once had one of these people, his grandson, who had this chumrah. Rabbi Yashiv recommends a person should always be mafish the chumrah. So someone came, his grandchildren came, and he said, came to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he told him, I have a personal chumrah, I hope you're not offended, that I don't rely on anything, I don't rely on anybody, I'm always mafish once again. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, fine, go ahead. So he gave him a knife, go ahead, Zalandu Hatzaf Rasha. When he finished, he said, yes, are you finished? He says, yes. So he took it and just ate it. Right. But the point is that once you are mafish already, then there's nothing more to do. You cannot be mafish. It's not like it's like trying to redo. It's like something is, when something is colored, you try coloring again, it doesn't do it. If it's already tumos u'maisos were taken, you can't be mafish tumos again. Many times, misafek or mechumra, we're not sure, so we call quote unquote doing it again, but if in fact, it was already done. So what we're doing now is not as meaningless. And therefore, as far as making a bracha, certainly we would not make a bracha if there was a possibility that shumas and ma'asav were already taken. Yeah.
Where do you draw the line between baal tashlit and being ma'asav? I mean, it seems
okay.
Like the person being ma'asav is being baal tashlit because it's sort of taken, then they're throwing out stuff that's good.
Okay, so this is a question I asked once, post on camp. Yeah, where do we draw the line on this issue? And he explained that baal tashlit is when you're wantonly wasting something without a definite purpose, without a definite reason for doing so. But if you're doing it because you want to be nizhar on the chashash iser, that's not considered baal tashlit because I'm doing it for a purpose. I'm doing it because I'm trying to avoid a potential iser, and that's something which is credible, which is positive. And if we don't consider that baal tashlit, if you were to know that it was already taken and you just go and throw one, that would be considered, as I said, just throwing something in the garbage. If you knew it was taken and you just did it again anyway, even though you knew that it was taken. But if you're not 100% sure and you have this practice because of any doubt, and therefore that's not considered baal tashlit.
Yeah, and then in connection with that, at what point do you say that there's doubt? There are abundance of the chovos, they take them anyway. So what's the doubt that I'm...
Okay, what is the doubt? The doubt is very simply that if you... The doubt is that since when you're dealing with the shuk, okay, you're dealing with the shuk and people are coming and unloading packages and the farmers are coming in, right, there's a question that, and things are going in and out and the mashkiach is not always there. Mashkiach only has two sets of eyes. And that's the mashkiach will be an after eye, but mashkiach does not. Mashkiach has two sets of eyes, two sets of hands, and 2 feet. So Mashiach can only be in one place at one time, right? And therefore he can't always, right? There are some times that there'll be boxes, there'll be crates that will slip through. So that's the reason why sometimes people will be mafish over again in case that this crate, because of all the hullabaloo that goes on. Dev, you ever work in a fruit packaging place? Right? No. Okay, now see, now you know, look into bring the stories back from food packing places. What? I know, so I'm saying that we have to get, but personally, if a person works in one of these, in a fruit warehouse, okay, with constant loading and unloading, so sometimes there are crates, and the concern is not that the mashkiach, when he was mafish, didn't do a good job, but the concern is that there may have been something which slipped through, and therefore, though he was mafish, but he wasn't mafish on this particular crate. Somebody slipped through that without his being noticing it. And that's one of the, and therefore, obviously, in the place to have a better hashgacha, there's a greater presence of mashgichim, and there's tighter controls in terms of the shipments coming in. Some of them actually even try to be mafish. And there are other issues also. Let's say, for example, one of the other problems, let's say, for example, you have a farmer who has mafish on the farm. Okay? Let's say you have a religious kibbutz shalvim, kibbutz chavetz, I don't know, for example, and they were mafish already on the farm. Right? They bring it in to the warehouse. Okay? And the mashiach is not going to sit there checking, each one. And therefore, he'll take one of Chafetz Chaim's potatoes and he'll declare the potatoes from Chafetz Chaim as trumas ma'aser on the rest of the dozens of packages of crates that he has coming in now. That didn't do anything because since Chafetz Chaim was already mafrish,
wow.
Right? So therefore, these potatoes, that's it, we're finished. And therefore, if you took potatoes from Chafetz Chaim or something else, so then you haven't done anything. So some of the Rafratis Hashkocha, they try as much as possible to do the hafrasha not in the warehouse after things are already coming in, who knows from what, but this yes, this no, this in this part of the country, this in that part of the country, also issues, they try to be mafish on the farm itself before it gets to the, so that way you know that this farm, this location is having trumas ma'aser from its own one. So these are differences. Now obviously in the warehouses, they're not under the hajjan hashgachas, they're not going to be able to control the same way. On site, and they'll take from a box. I don't know how much they check, but they'll take and they'll leave mafish. So if there is hafrash, but there is, that sometimes they can slip through the different places in the country, and there's the possibilities some places may have or have not taken. So that's some of the issues why there may be a need, why there is possible reason to quantify mafish over again, misafet. There is a certain doubt whether the hafrash was passed. So these are some of the issues which come up.
Would you also take into consideration, we mentioned before, about a supermarket chain that has a certain distributor, a certain people that it buys from,
mm-hmm.
So they would presumably know much better what they're getting and whether something is...
So again, if you're talking about a supermarket chain they're getting from a distributor, but you just have to roll the question back, where is that distributor getting from? Is this distributor getting all from one farm, right? One warehouse, or this distributor just went to a warehouse in which he had 20 people bringing it. Okay, so again, this is something that the stronger hashkach from the hajj hashkach will have more mashkiach and be able to take better control of it. If you have less mashkiach from staff, then again they are mafish, okay, but their control over it and their ability to prevent any possible mistake is less so. Alright, so in any case, so we have here the more than 1% we set aside. We'll explain shortly why more than 1%. And we have, if you know, yes. Okay, so if you have a bunch of different vegetables, so again, you can say one nusach. We'll say the nusach includes for each and every type. So before, you see, if you have tomatoes, and you have carrots, and you have potatoes, and you have onions, and you have whatever it is, so you take off more than 1% of each, okay, before you begin. So you have sitting here in front of you, you have from you a little bit of each of, you have a piece of cucumber, and a piece of tomato, and a piece of carrot, and a piece of potato. You have a piece of everything sitting here, more than 1% of each kind of each kind. Okay? There's an interesting question, how far do you compare each kind? Let's say, for example, you bought yellow tomatoes and you bought red tomatoes, peppers. You have green peppers and yellow peppers and red peppers. You have to take a slice from each, or can you just say one from, I'll try to double check this for next week, but I think Me'ikar Hadin, all the peppers are considered one kind, and I think you can be mafresh from one kind of one, so let's say from a red pepper on a red or yellow and a green. I don't think you need to take one from each, a slice of the red and a slice of the green and a slice of the yellow. They are all the same mean, they are all the same type, and therefore I think, I'll double check this, but I think you can take one piece of pepper, since they're all the same, yeah. Okay, right. Okay, again, this is if you are concerned about different sources, and you have reason to believe, I'll say that the red peppers are coming from this farm, and the green peppers are coming from this farm, and the yellow peppers are coming from this farm. So again, there may be a reason to take from each, because the fact that they look different may indicate they're going from different growers, and if it was possible, this batch, you know they're coming from different batches, so that may be a reason to, again, the Torah Chumrah, to go ahead. But I'm saying that, for example, if you brew your own peppers and you're coming and you're trying to check your own peppers, or you know that it's coming from the same supplier, okay, then I think you can just take from one kind of pepper. I don't think each one is considered separate. So we come now to, as mentioned, we have here bracha. If it's dvadai tevel, you make a bracha. If, however, there's a possibility trumas and masvot were already taken, you don't make the bracha and you go straight to the nusach. Now, when we talk about Trumas and Ma'asot, what are Trumas and Ma'asot? What do we have here? Okay? Let's begin. Let's do this together. The first thing we have is what? Now, before you get to Ma'asot, the first thing we take is Truma. Okay? Truma, let's just review. Truma is intended for whom? Truma is supposed to be taken and given to the Kohen. Okay? How much do you have to give? Mitzad din ha-Torah. How much do you have to give? What percentage is truma? What? Kosher. Right? Midaraisa, it's enough to give any amount of truma. I can have a whole pile, I can have a whole batch, I can have a whole crate, a whole container. I take one piece, I say this can be truma. Any amount, there is no fixed percentage for truma midaraisa. Chachamim recommended a 2% amount. Therefore, if you learn Mishnayos, you will find the Mishnayos recommendation either 40th, or 50th, or 60th, roughly 2%, you'll find the Mishnayos or 2% recommendation, Midrabanan. However, the Truma nowadays cannot be eaten, because Truma has to be eaten bitahara. has to be eaten with purity, and since the food itself is likely not tahar, and the person himself is not tahar, we are not in a position that we are able to eat the truma. And since we're not able to eat the truma, unfortunately, it has to go into the garbage. And this, by the way, brings it. Yes, David.
What about non-edible truma?
For example? Okay, so I guess I want to, just one second. So here, this is also very important. This leads us to a very important point to bear in mind. When we talk about truma samayasis, there are two points that we're dealing with. One is the separation of the truma samayasis, and the other is the actual giving of the truma samayasis. And those are the points to make considered two separate mitzvot. There's the hafrasha, the designation, the proclamation, the separation of truma samayasis, and the nesina, the giving, at least in the time of the giving, the proper giving of the truma to the kohen and the maaser to the levi, etc., etc. So there are two separate aspects, and despite the fact that we're not able to properly observe the giving, the nesina, giving the kohen the truma, does not in any way relieve us of the need to be mafish, to separate, to designate the truma from maaser. If you're not mafish, it's called tevel, and it's not allowed to be eaten. You have to be mafish, even though you will not be able to carry through and to give it to the kohen, because you will not be able to eat it. Nonetheless, we still have to be mafish. You ask an excellent question: is what can be done with truma which is tameh? Truma which is tameh can either be burned if it's appropriate for burning, or it can be fed to a kohen. Can also give to its animals. Okay, and therefore, when you're dealing with large quantities, okay, you're talking with tenuva, or you're talking about a kibbutz, where they have large quantities of truma or truma smaita, we'll get to in a few minutes. Sometimes what they do is the kibbutz will give over ownership of their cows to the resident kohen on the kibbutz, and since the kohen now owns the cows, they can feed the cows the truma, okay? Because the animal of a kohen is able to eat the truma even when it's tameh. So the same thing I remember I was told, I don't know if it's still so, but the gan chayos was owned by a kohen, it was given over to the kohanim, and now David, okay? Alright, we can make David our official representative, right? When he has those cat stores, what do you have in the house? Just kids? Alright, so you have the kohen has animals, the trumas can be fed to the animal of a kohen, or, as you mentioned, oil. Oil, which is meant to be burned anyway, can be burned when it's tameh. And therefore, there is a possibility, for example, I know in the Kutzat Yavne, in Yeshiva all the years, the kibbutz has an oil factory, and before Chanukah, in fact, they would give out to the Kohanim, the oil factory, now is the time, this is the time of the year that they're making oil, and therefore, the time of the year, they would distribute to the Kohanim in the Yeshiva oil for lighting Chanukah candles, the oil of the Chuma, they would give to the Kohanim to light, because that, yes, in fact, that was not eaten, it's burned, it can be burned, even while it's in the tameh state. What? Again, if you okay, so we'll get to that in a second. If you want to make them give it to you, yes, you have to bring proof. Okay, but a ketubah is not going to help you. What's the proof? You told the rabbi you're a kohen, right? You told him your name is David Ha Kohen. How does he know? Well, because your father told him. Okay. What? Yeah. And how do we know your parents? How do we know your father's a kohen? Who told that rabbi that your father's a kohen? He did. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So, but that becomes joking, but it becomes a very, very important point. Less so for the truma, because the truma does nothing for the person. The farmer, the kibbutz, has nothing to do with the truma anyway. It's either the garbage or giving it to you. So, you know, hey, if nothing to lose, you might as well give it to you. Okay, well, guess who am I? So it becomes a more significant issue down the line.
Really except for maybe Rabbi Avraham Shapira that has this book, Shem and Tov, that traces him back to Ezra. That's right. So how am I allowed to accept this?
Again, you're allowed to.
Here's my answer.
I know. So the point is that the same way, we don't assume that for every issue that you have to have, they always have to have 100%. We rely on, for example, we talked about an animal. An animal may be a trefa, but we rely on the fact that an average animal is healthy. Right. So even though it's possible that you may actually not be a kohen, but we assume that you're becheskas kohen. And there are many areas of halacha where something is b'chazkat, so we assume it's b'chazkat kohen. Okay, so for some areas we lie, others we're not, but in general we lie in the fact of b'chazkat kohen. So therefore, we have here Chuma, which is given to the Kohen, Midaraisa is Noshir, Midarabanan, we have a recommendation of 2%. But we said since nowadays it's going to go in the garbage anyway, Lamaisa, what's the point of taking 2% and throwing 2% in the garbage? Okay, that's what you mentioned earlier. This becomes a klisha of baltashas. Why throw out 2% if you can get away with a small amount? And therefore, nowadays, since the truma is not being given to the kohen anyway, the truma is going usually into the garbage. We go back to the basic din d'oraisa that you can remafish any small amount as truma, and therefore, and that's why we have here the first. And therefore, we the truma we nowadays remafish a very small amount. Okay, after Shuma, what's the next thing we're mafresh? Okay, Meister. Okay, Meister, that's fair. How much is Meister? Okay, Meister Rishon. Meister, it's a tenth. Okay, we then take a tenth of the produce, 1% of the produce is, I'm sorry, 10% of the produce is taken as Meister. So therefore, for example, had I had 100 potatoes, I would take off a little bit for Shuma. I take off one, I have 10 left. 10 would be declared as Meiser, okay? And leave me, at this point, I have 90 left. What's the next thing? After Mafish Meiser, the next step is? Trumas Meiser. The Levi is also required to give Truma. It says in the Torah that the Levi is required to give 10% of what he got. So an example, I'll say for simplicity's sake, if the Levi, if we had started with 100 potatoes, okay, we gave a little bit to the coin as Truma, we have almost 100 left. We gave the Levi approximately 10. The Levi has 10. He has to take one of his 10, a tenth of a tenth, 1% of the whole, and he has to give a tenth of what he received, 1% of the whole, to the true coin as Truma Maaseh. And that also has to be given, and that has the same din as Truma, and therefore again has to be thrown in the garbage. And this is why we get to the 1%, because the part that has kedusha that cannot be eaten and has to be thrown in the garbage is a little bit something for truma, and we then took 10% as maaser. All right, of the 10%, we took 10% of that, and therefore, i.e., 1% of the total, we made into trumat maaser. So I have a little bit of something of truma, 1% of the original as trumat maaser. So that's why I have the 1%. Which has to set aside and put into the garbage. So essentially, if we have the 1% here, what we really have here, we do it 1+ for convenience sake. But what I really have here is I have a little piece, something here, which sort of essentially would be meant and designated for truma. 1%, which is going to be maaser, we'll see. Plus, I need another 9% here, which is going to be maaser. Okay. And now, again, to start with 100, we gave away a little bit something for truma. 10% for Meiser, which is supposed to go to the Levi. And here's where David's question comes in becomes a very relevant issue. Right? If 10% is going to the Levi, every time you have produce, right, you should go over to Yishna. Where any Levim here? No. I have Phil here, okay? So David's stuck. David can only get a little bit of something, and he can't even do anything with it. But Phil can come and say, hey, 10%, that's a whole potato. What, a potato and a half, okay? So Phil's going to walk out of the shear saying, give me a potato and a half, 10%, mine. Okay? So the truth is, so this is what we mentioned before, there's the hafrasha and the nesina. Right? The hafrasha has to be done. When it comes to the nesina, here's where we invoke what David said. Phil comes to me and says, Phil says he's a lazy. How do I know he's a lazy? He claims he's a lazy. That's very nice of him. He wants to get a potato and a half. Right, so he can't prove that he's a Levi. That says in the Ketubah it's a Levi again. He told the rabbi he's a Levi. His parents told it. Right, so therefore, nowadays, we have a rule, Hamotzi Mecha, when it comes to the giving, to the monetary aspect of it, Hamotzi Mecha Viro, Alav Haraya. One who wants to collect from somebody else has the burden of the proof. If Phil wants to demand that I give him my Maaser, yes, there is a potato and a half here is going to be Maaser. But if Phil wants me to give it to him, or any other Levi, if Michael comes, if Michael Levi, or any other Levium in the shul, right, or whoever else is, comes and demands, give me that potato and a half, because I'm a Levi, I'll say, prove it to me. Go bring me a record, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. prove to me you're a Levi. Until you can prove to me if you're a Levi, you can't monetarily force me to give it. Mixed in here, okay, it's over here, set aside, and as soon as any Levi will come, I will have to give it to him. But since there's no Levi who can prove that he's a Levi, therefore the Chazanish writes, that's in that sort of generally accepted psak, that nowadays we don't have to give the Maaser to the Levi, because he can approve that he is a bona fide Levi, and therefore he doesn't have monetary rights to force me to give it to him. If I want to do it, if I know I have to, again, all the same thing, if I'm not even sure that I got this in the Makolet, there's a good chance, there's an 80-90% chance that Truma Samaz were already taken, the same thing. Phil's going to come and say, give me the potato and a half. I'm going to say to Phil, look, Phil, the likelihood is that this what I'm doing now, I'm just going through the motions. Most likely, Truma Samaz were already taken. Most likely, I could even eat this myself. All right, I want to be machmir, I want to do it again, fine, I'm doing it again. Okay, but essentially, I'm assuming that all I'm doing now is really not, is just going through the motion. Therefore, you can't come with a monetary claim. I have to give it to you because there's a good chance that she was already taken, and there's no real meister here anyway. So this always, certainly, if it's something which you're doing b'tor chumra, where there already was some sort of hashgacha, there's certainly no way to give. And even if you have something growing in the garden, nowadays you can. Many poskim say you can lemaisa after you, again, after you've said, you must separate it. But after you've separated the maaser, you don't actually have to carry through and give it to the Levi, because the Levi can't prove that it's his. You want to go ahead and give it to him, fine. And you want to fulfill the, since he is a cheskat Levi, you want to fulfill the mitzvah of netinah to the Levi, gezuntehe, right? Commendable. But as far as you have to give it to him, many person can say you don't have to give it to him nowadays because he cannot prove that he's a Levi. Okay, so that's maaser. Now we have about 90 out of 100. We have about 90 left. The next thing after giving maaser rishon, we have to give what? Next step, we have maaser sheni. We have to give one other maaser, which would then be 10% of what's left. Since we have 90 left, that's 9%. We have to give 9, right? 9% of the which is 9% of the original. We have to give another maaser, which is going to be either maaser sheni in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, or Maaser Ani in years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle. There are certain issues in terms of vegetables follow when they're picked, fruit follow when they're coming, when they begin growing, and therefore, also a lot of times, if you're talking about a product that you're buying, it's going to have in it, may have some fruit in it, some vegetables in it. So therefore, you'll find in most of the Nusach of HaFrasha, to cover, to be uniform, and to be safe, they'll say Maaser Sheni and say if it needs Maaser Sheni, Maaser Sheni, and if it needs Maaser Ani, Maaser Ani. Therefore, you don't have to sit there and make a cheshbon of, well, what are we up to? Where is this from? Is it from this year or is it from last year? Is it from next year? Right? Is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable? Most of the nusach usually have built in to cover if it's Maaser Sheni, Maaser Sheni, if it's Maaser Ani, Maaser Ani. It becomes more relevant as far as the giving, who to give it to. The Maaser Sheni is, we'll get to in a second. The Maaser Ani is given to a poor person. The Maaser Sheni, what's supposed to be done with Maaser Sheni? Okay, who knows Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni is supposed to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim. However, we have the same problem. Maaser Sheni has Kedusha, has to be not the same Kedusha as Truma, but it has to be eaten with Kedusha in Yerushalayim. Therefore, since we are Tameim, even if we were to take it to Yerushalayim, we could not eat it in Yerushalayim because it's Tameh. Therefore, the alternative, the Torah gives us the option of redeeming the Kedusha of the Maaser Sheni onto a coin. Okay? Now again, midoraisa, you can take even a very valuable, a lot of Maaser Sheni and make it pipoda on a very small coin. Midarabana, you're not supposed to do that. But since again, nowadays, we're not going to do anything with the coin anyway, in the good old days, if you live far from Yerushalayim, you don't want to take up your whole, you had a whole tremendous amount of fruit, and even a tenth would be, you know, crates and crates, you're not going to take all your crates up to Yerushalayim, it's too heavy, so you put in some money, take the money to Yerushalayim, you go buy a couple of shawarmas, and you finish all your money. Okay? But again, nowadays, since we can't do it anyway, and the coin, again, it's going to have to be, in a certain sense, destroyed. So therefore, again, we go back to the Ikar Hadin, and whatever amount, whatever value the mice is going to be, we redeem it on the smallest possible coin. Okay? This is basically, we have Truma, then Maaser, then Truma's Maaser from the Maaser, and then either Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. If it's my fasheni, we have to redeem. Okay, let's all see that now inside here. Okay, and I have a parallel the two verses. Okay, so let's say I have here, I'm just going to, for convenience sake, because I want to ultimately get 1%, even though I cut off a little piece, I'm not going to say this is truma, I'm just going to leave it together. And I'm going to say as follows. I'll say it in Hebrew, and it's important to mention that it's not like a bracha. The bracha should be said in Hebrew, like any other bracha. But the nusach itself is not a bracha, it's a declaration of truma samai. So if a person does not understand the Hebrew, right? Again, I guess mitzad always try to speak Hebrew. But if a person does not understand the Hebrew, you can say it in English, it's effectively the same thing. But if a person understands Hebrew, so that's it. Okay, so it should be put down in one place, because since we're going to talk about the north, the south, right, we have to designate a specific place. We don't want things moving around while you're in the middle of the hafrasha. Put things down, leave them in place, and then say the nusach. Say. Hayaser, I have over here my 1% plus. Okay, and I'm going to say this, so I don't want to get to mix in with the rest. Okay, this is not such a big deal, because you can pretty much tell that it's what it is. Fine. Say. Okay. What did I just say with that? I have here my 1% plus. Okay. Now I have to designate which part of it is. Since I want to get ultimately to 1% for Trumas Meiser, and Truma can be flexible, any amount. So I say what's more than 1%. Okay, should be truma. If I took off very close 1+%, it's going to be very small. If I took off generously, it's going to be maybe a full whole percent. If I was way overestimated, it may turn out to be 2%. But whatever is more than 1%, I say that is hereby declared which part out of this piece of pateria that I cut off, the northern side. In other words, this more or less is the north. So whatever is more than 1% over here is going to be truma. It may be a little bit, it may be a little bit more, but more than 1%, that is truma. Right? And if you have a few kinds of produce, you say kol min al mino. Okay? Now, that's as far as truma. Now we move on. Next thing we have to do is maaser. Okay? What's maaser? Oto echad mimea sheyesh kan, the remaining 1% here, va'od tish'a chalakim kemoso betzat tafon shel haperos, harehu maaser rishon. I now need to take 10% of maaser. So how do I get 10%? I have 1% over here in the piece that I cut, plus another 9% on the northern side of the potatoes, which would be roughly a line about over here. So all the potatoes on the northern side, now again, it's going to cut this, since it's going to cut into the potatoes. What's the difference? I have a 1% in the piece I cut off, and another 9% on the northern side of the potatoes. That is declared as maaser. That's maaser rishon. Okay? Stage 3. Oso achad mimeah shasitiv maaser rishon, asui chumat maaser. The 1% that was over here in the piece that I cut off, that is now made into chumat maaser, into maaser min hamaaser. And so now I have here, I've completed, I have here a small piece of truma and a 1% of trumat maaser. And this, okay, is basically finished. And I have here 9%, an additional 9% of maaser rishon. If I were to know that this were in fact tevel, and if Phil were able to prove to me that he were a levi, technically speaking, I would have to take a knife here and cut off. Right, and give him all these pieces of potatoes. A range of properties, give him a whole potato. But in any case, the likelihood is that this Shumas Samas were already taken, and Phil can't prove that he is a Levi anyway, so therefore I'm not going to, although I declared it as Maaser, I'm going to keep it myself, I'm going to put it into my own pot, I'm not going to give it to Phil. Okay? Next step. Umaaser Sheni. Okay, since the year 2 of the Maaser cycle of Maaser Sheni, I say umaaser sheni bidromo. I say that on the other side, again I need a specific place, the other side, the other 10% on the other side, on the southern side, is going to be maaser sheni. So now I have maaser sheni over here, and let's say, I guess it's going to be basically this potato here, mostly, is hereby declared as Ma'aseh Sheni. And then it says, V'im tzirich ma'aseh ani, yeh ma'aseh ani b'sadromo. Since I'm dealing here with potatoes, at this point there's no way they're going to be ma'aseh ani until we get till next year. So we usually say it anyway just to be on the safe side, but it really is no need for it. In this case, I could skip this. Okay, so now I have finished taking the trumos and ma'aseh. Okay, I have my truma, my truma's ma'aseh, the ma'aseh rishon, the ma'aseh sheni. However, the ma'aseh sheni, this potato, which is basically ma'aseh sheni, right, the southern 10%, okay, has to be taken to Yerushalayim and in Yerushalayim b'kedusha v'tara, which I can't do. And therefore, I have to redeem it. So here's where we get to the next exhibit. We have a coin here. A coin here for ma'aseh, for pidyon ma'aseh. Okay? I have here a coin. Now, the rule is when you podi on your own food, on your own coin, you have to also add what the Torah calls a chomesh, which is also actually what we call a quarter. It's a fifth of the total, but really a quarter of what you begin with. Let's say, for example, if you had if you had 100, and you give 25, so 25 is a fifth of the sum total of 125. But you had 4, you give 1, so now you have 5. So you gave 1 out of the sum total of 5. So you have to give, we call it putav chomesh, which is actually a quarter of what you began with. So if you're using your own coin and your own fruit, you have to give a pruta and a chomesh. You have to give money and a fifth. However, if you're using somebody else's coin, you just give the you don't have to give the chomesh. Not everybody has a coin, not everyone wants to deal with the coin. So one of the things I wanted to do is to designate I can allow someone to use. Therefore, this coin, which has the pruta, is between 5 and 10 agorot. So when you ever mafish, every time you mafish, you use up 5 to 10 agorot. So I took a 10 shekel coin, and I designated it as the use of the shul. And therefore, whoever wants to, I give permission to whoever wants to use it, can use this coin. And I figure 10 shekel is good for a good 150 or so, 150 afashot. When I have, it's also possible to then that I'll take care of to move the kedusha on to recycle it, to take all the 10 shekels worth and put it onto another coin and then the shekel refill. So the point is, I'm grant permission to all the members of the shul, that's the AGM soon, that's it, right? So it's permission to anyone that comes to anyone, the members of the shul who come to the shir, you're a non-member of the shul, okay? They're welcome to use this coin here, and that's why I have the nusach that I gave you is a little bit different than the standard nusach. Because since I'm letting you use my coin, you're not going to have the chomesh. If you look in the regular sidurim, you'll see a mention about the chomesh. That's if you're using your own coin. But if you want to be mafish on the coin that I have designated over here, then you're not going to have. You will not have the chomesh. So you'll say ma'aseh sheni, right? Mechulal al pruta b'matbea hamiuchad l'charvei beis hakneset haritfila l'chilul zeh. Okay. This is the Yisrael Nusach, and you can use this coin that I have yet.
Even though it's here and...
Yeah, no, right. The chila, right. Either we said that for truma, it has to be in a mukaf. But as far as the coin, there's no din, you know, the coin doesn't have to be in front of you. You can use... Now, there are many Keren HaMasrot. This is basically what you have, the Keren HaMasrot. For those who do this organization, they do it on a professional basis. And I was under a little bit of a dilemma. You know, should I do it? Should I encourage people to go to the Keren HaMasrot? But, you know, it's 50 shekels a year for the privilege. So I think, all right, I'll save you 50 shekels and I'll set up my own private shul Keren HaMasrot. One thing, should I open it to everybody, make it for all Yad Binyamin? She spoke of Hadai Rafa, I want to make one to the whole community. I said, let's all do this. If someone wants to give, give permission to someone else, I'm not going to be so mocked on it. But essentially, in principle, this is meant for Shari Tzvila, and so to come to the Shir. But if someone else needs to, I'm not going to see a sticker about it. But
anyone can take their own coin.
You can take your own coin. Just afterwards, you just have to deal. You just have to deal with it.
I mean, you're not right. Putting on the value of the fruit. You're putting on a
pruta, which is it's a 40th of a gram of silver. Anyone know? You have to check on the internet how much a gram of silver costs nowadays. It's roughly, I think, between 5 to 10 agorot. Okay, so if you have a half shekel coin, then you can use, it's good for 5 to 10, for about 7-8 half a shekel. Okay, have a coin. So then if you're going to use your own coin, then you'll say mukhalal hu vichum sho, that and a fifth is being on a pruta of the coin.
That coin stays in the shul.
This is in the kumashul in my house, one of the two.
But does
No. It doesn't have to be in front of you. It can sit in the shul, it can sit in my house, it can sit wherever. And I give you, in essence, I give you permission to use the coin.
I don't need the coin.
You don't need the coin. Okay? And I give you permission. Okay? And therefore, you can use, you can say this nisa, and you can use the coin.
Do I have to let you know that I use it?
No. I just have to let me know because I have to make sure that doesn't get, I guess it's good for about 150, but I'll assume to use 150 times. I'm assuming it will take a while. Meanwhile, I'll move on to another coin. I'll empty it. So
if I use my own coin, what do I do in it? If I don't want to transfer again,
well, you take two pliers and you
break.
Either take two pliers and break, or you move it to another coin, right? Okay. Through on Tiyam HaMelech. Okay, that's kind of right. So if you want to use your own coin, but you have to make sure. That's why I put a little in the bag. I put a piece of paper, maser, so shouldn't get mixed up with the rest. And people shouldn't end up using it for their own. When they go to Makolet, they shouldn't use it to buy another thing of potatoes. You have to make sure not to get mixed up. And that's one of the reasons why you have an unidentified shekel coin. One of the reasons advantage of using something more organized, so you don't end up, that shekel doesn't end up getting mixed in with the. But it has to be kept in a separate place, and if you have your own coin, you can do it yourself. And there is one advantage of using this coin, and that is, we'll have to. There's an idea called if you are being mafish on something which is worth less than a pruta, okay, let's say for example you went to your garden, you picked up a leaf or something, or you took one, you have a small clementine on the tree, and you took one small clementine, you'd be mafish, or you went to someone's house, and you didn't want to trust the chumas amaisas, and you have a little salad there, so you push aside a little bit of salad. Okay, now the Maaser Sheni there is maybe worth less than a pruta. You know, if the fruit itself is worth less than half a pruta, the half a shekel, then the trumas, the Maaser Sheni will be worth less than a pruta. All right. So if it's less than a pruta, then you can't be. That's not enough to put on the coin. The only way you can do that is if the coin already has on it something of equivalent halachic significance. So this coin, so that's what I want to tell the Tanamis, this has wine put on it, which is a very high level of Chiyuv Maaser, and therefore once it already has on it, you can put on something even less than a prut. That was part of the idea of specifically getting this coin. But if it's, in most situations, you'll be mafish on something which is worth more than a pruta, right? More than a half a shekel worth of fruit, and therefore usually you can just do it on your own coin if you would like to, then you have to, you say hu v'chum shel, that and a fifth is mechula on a pruta. Okay, if we're dealing with fruits, there's also a possibility of Revai. The fruits may be in the fourth year, and the fruits of Revai also have to be redeemed similar to Maaser Sheni, and therefore you say, again, there's a bracha for each of these things. If it's Vadai, in most situations you're not going to be dealing with Vadai, you won't have to make the bracha. And you'll say again, if there's Perot Revai, that also should be redeemed on the same coin. Now what happens, this is very nice, you're sitting here in the shiur, and you have this nice thing, it's really going to have a smaller piece of paper. Right, what happens if you're at someone's house, or you don't have time for the whole nusach? Right, you know more or less what's supposed to be happening, but you don't have it exactly in front of you. You don't have time for the whole nusach. So you're visiting someone's house, and you're not going to whip out your handy dandy nusach hafresh and sit there at the table in front of him, you know, to his face and read it to him. There is a shul of chazon ish vayis that you can use a short version, which is very similar. We have a lawyer here. Alright, you know, a lot of times when you have a lawyer, you say that all the, you put a, this, at the bottom, you put a note that this contract is subject to the, how do you write it? It's subject to the company's bylaws of the company, right? And that's a document which is yelong. Right? By inference, reference, what's it called?
By
reference, okay? That you say that this contract is, by reference, is subject to all the bylaws of the company. Go look there, and you can have fun reading. Alright, so the Chazon Ish says you can do the same thing for Hafrash, Trumas, and Maaser. You can say, I want all the Hafrash, Trumas, and Maaser, and the Chil Maaser Sheni to be effective as per the Nusach. Okay, go read it over there. And that's why if a person that doesn't have time or doesn't remember, you can just say something, a simple Nusach, that all the Hafrash, Trumas, and Maaser can, and the Chil Maaser Sheni should take place based on the Nusach, on the specific Nusach that it has. In my possession, the sitter, what I give out, okay, and that's in that way you can easily do a fresh chumas and maaser. And this is the main point of the Hafrasha, the designation, the proclamation, the announcement that this is a Truma, this is a Maisa, Maisa Sheni, this is a Chilo. At this point, everything is taken care of. I now have a little bit of Truma, 1% of Truma's Maisa, 9% Maisa Rishon here, 10% Maisa Sheni here, which was now redeemed onto the coin. And left, basically, I take care, since this can't be eaten, has Kedusha in it, has to go in the garbage, but since it's Kedusha, I don't want to throw in Stamkach in the garbage, so Mishim Kavod, I would double wrap it. Okay, and double wrap it, and it will go in the garbage.
If it was rotten, like,
what?
Take off a different piece?
If it's rotten to the point that it's not edible,
it's just a little
piece of eye.
But if you had a big eye.
Right. If it's rotten to the point that it's not edible, then it couldn't be mafia. If it's edible, just not in great condition, so again, in the time that the maaser was given to the kohen, we're more mafkid on it, because you don't want to give the kohen what's not good. Nowadays, it's basically going in the garbage anyway, so we don't say, in the farm, that's where often what's done when you're doing this commercially, to have to give off 1% of everything, it comes up being a lot. But in any commercial setting, out of, I'm assuming, 5-6% is not really commercial, it's too small, it's a little damaged, whatever. There's a lot of what falls off the assembly line anyway. So a lot of times they take the trumosomyces from that, okay, what's usually what's not on, it's not grade A, it's not going to make it so much, anyway. They usually use that for trumosomyces. Okay?
What? Is there anything you do on Shabbos in case you have a bag that they didn't take trumosomyces?
Okay, so on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to take trumosomyces. However, that's only if it's vadai. If you know, that's what we're saying by my madlikin. If it's vadai, then you're not allowed to be mafish chumas amaisis. Okay, so if you have something that you know you are mafish, what comes up more commonly is that say challah. So if a person made challah for Shabbos and the woman forgot to be mafish challah, and now comes Shabbos and she remembers, whoops. I forgot to take challah before Shabbos. So there's no way on Shabbos itself you can't be mafish challah. You'll have to wait till next week and go and knock on your neighbors and get yourself some other challah. Okay, because on Shabbos itself, if it's a vadai, then you can't be mafish chumas amaisis. However, or if you're going to someone who has tevel, okay, and you know that he's going to have actual tevel, then there's nothing you can do. You can't deserve it. However, if you're not sure if it's what we call demai, you're not sure if trumas and mice were taken, then we allow you to make a tnai before Shabbos, and if you say before Shabbos, you more or less say the nusach before Shabbos, say what I will declare tomorrow with trumas and mice, so the whole nusach, what I will not saying what I'm now taking, but I will take tomorrow, you basically say the same nusach, and tomorrow when you're there, you again say the whole nusach or the short version. And that you can do. That if it's demai, something which is only misafik or mechumra, then you can be mafrish by making a tnai in the erev Shabbos. But if it's vadai, then you can't be mafrish on Shabbos.
If you can't double wrap the 1%, is that what?
If
I'm in the middle of the tzul and I take from Shabbos.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Again, the idea of double wrapping is mishum kavod, right? So that you want to show kavod to the, you don't want to throw it in the garbage, okay? So again, it's not if you can't if you're in a setting where you're not able to. So again, try to dispose of it in the most delicate manner. If you have a tissue, put it in a tissue, or put it neatly in the sand or something. It's just mishum kavod, since after all, it does have kedusha.
He's grabbing a
sabra
from a tree that's there.
Right, okay. If you just grab it, although let's say, for example, you took the sabras and then you sort of took it into your tent, or you collected a few of them together and put them together in your bag and stuck them in the car. Okay, you can have the situation. The point is, but again, it's not, this is the saying of the nusach is the actual hafrasha trumas amaisis. The 1% is sort of, it's enable you to then easily put aside, it has to be put aside. Okay, and the double wrapping is mishum kavod. But again, if situations don't allow, we're going to do it. Well, let's say, for example, you're visiting someone's house. You're not going to say, well, so you have on your plate some food that you want to be mafish from. So you push a little bit to the side. You're not going to tell them, can you give me two plastic bags so I can just stick a little bit in. You know. So again, the Hafrasha itself is the saying of the Nusach. Okay? Again, you want to make sure that you push it to the side of the plate so it doesn't make its way back and end up eating what you're mafish from. Okay? So you push a little bit to the side of your plate and you say the Nusach, and then the meal you just leave over that little bit at the, on the plate.
And it goes in the garbage, it's okay.
Right. It doesn't affect our flesh, it's just once you have it, you should try. No, this is different than Shemitah. Because Shemitah, there's an Easter to waste the fruit. Truma, it's not an Easter, it's going in the garbage anyway. It's just an issue of kavo. There's no Easter. Okay, I'm sorry. And it's a good point. This is different than Shemitah. On Shemitah, there's an Easter of being mastered. Here is no issue to be mastered it since it's tamei anyway, but it's just mishum kavod, so we don't want to degrade like any other. It's like mitzvah, like mitzvahs, you don't want to degrade the mitzvah, you treat the mitzvah as kavod, and if also since this is a mitzvah, so we want to dispose of it in a respectable manner.
What is chayav in trumah?
Okay, so this is Mr. Shem we'll get into in a different shiur. This I just wanted to give a shiur how to, okay, which I think is very important to know what you're saying and what you're doing. What things are chayav, basically, this will be a different shiur, but in a nutshell, all produce, spices have three levels. Spices that are often routinely eaten, you know, they're not just for flavor, but they themselves are eaten, are chayav trumas hamaisis with a bracha. Spices that are only used for flavoring, like, you know, tea or stuff like that, which is only used as spices, okay, is not chayav trumas hamaisis. And stuff which is in between, that is often used just as spices, but sometimes it's also eaten, which falls like mint, stuff like that. You know, mint and petrus, mint and what? Okay, again, I don't know what the. Okay, so again, if it's a suffix, so then you should be mafish, but without a bracha, because it may not be chayav. Okay, so that's the idea. Okay.
And
if you're not, I don't think whether you are in practice of eating it now, I think it's a question whether the type, like for example, you're going to put mint in your tea.
No, but let's say you're taking it to crush up and make a fragrance of that.
Oh yeah, no, then if you're not eating it, then there's no need. But if you can use mint for the tea, but since the mint is sometimes used, not just the flavor of the tea, but sometimes the mint is used, chopped up and put in the salad and eaten as such, so then, if you have mint, you should be mafish without a bracha, even if it's growing in your garden. You know trumas weren't taken, since it's often used as a spice. You would be mafish with. You would say that you take off the 1%. You would say the nusach, but again without brachas.
And if you chew but don't swallow.
Again, I don't. If you chew,
but it's
nothing.
It's if they chew it all the time.
If they're swallowing the flavor, they probably have to. I'm not sure. Okay, but I'm not sure. Okay.
Yeah.